You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. It's Mock Draft Monday. We're going to check in with Daniel Jeremiah of NFL.com's latest mock draft, a seven-round 49ers-only mock draft from the Draft Network, and tease my own first round mock draft, the Peacock 1.0 mock for the 2021 NFL draft season. Some of the latest news surrounding the 49ers and some of your questions. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. At BD Peacock on Twitter is where you can find me. That's where the questions, for the most part, will come from on this episode and every episode throughout the off season of Locked On 49ers. You can also email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Where to begin? I guess we'll start with a little bit of news from the 49ers I haven't covered yet. Adam Peters, 49ers personnel guy, is now getting a new title and I assume a little bump in pay after he did not get a GM job, even though there was some interest. And I think there's still going to be interest in Adam Peters for teams looking for GMs through the next hiring cycle next year. But for now, staying with the 49ers, getting a new title of assistant general manager. And I don't know exactly what that entails for him or what it means long term. He has said that the 49ers has been his dream job and he did grow up in the Bay Area. But I have to imagine being, you know, the number two or really the number three guy, including Kyle Shanahan, as far as decision makers when it comes to the 49ers roster, he would much rather be the number one and be a GM somewhere else at some point. And one of the big things that happened this offseason, it seems somewhat minor, and I don't think it really got a lot of coverage, but Martin Mayhew leaving the 49ers and going to the Washington football team, that could really hurt the 49ers just from having a veteran personnel guy, because if it would have happened the other way and this offseason Adam Peters would have got a GM job, then most likely you would think the same treatment for Martin Mayhew would have happened that Adam Peters got, and he would be the trusted, you know, number three in the 49ers front office as far as decision makers go. But now the 49ers still run the risk of losing both, because I don't think it changes anything from Adam Peters' perspective of potentially taking the right GM job. But maybe it just means it has to be the perfect job. It has to be the right GM job. He's not just going to be looking for any old GM job for any old team in the NFL next offseason. But Martin Mayhew, it was sort of a lateral move. He had took a similar role that he had with the 49ers, took that role with the Washington football team. So he didn't become a GM or anything like that, but maybe felt like there was too many cooks in the kitchen. I'm just guessing on that. I have no idea what Martin Mayhew's thoughts were about taking the job in Washington. But all I know now is that Adam Peters sticking around for at least one more year, getting a little bump in the 49ers front office. And I really think he is a pretty important piece to the puzzle when it comes to the 49ers front office. And I really point to his work, and I think you can really start to point to the whole scouting staff with how well the 49ers have drafted since Shanahan and Lynch took over in the later rounds. And I think that's really important. And I think he's absolutely been really heavily involved in a lot of those great draft picks. So I think he's important to the 49ers, and I'm sure they're doing what they can to try to make him happy and keep him around as long as they can. But I really think he's destined to eventually become a general manager somewhere, and probably unlikely to be with the 49ers when John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are still around. Moving on to, well, let's get this out of the way first. It's not necessarily bad news, because I don't know how much stock you really want to put into this, but Peter King, who has been a really plugged in guy to the 49ers, he was embedded in the 49ers' first ever draft in 2017. He had the Javon Kinlaw pick correct for the 49ers before the draft last year. So you know there's been conversations there, and you know there is a deep connection, maybe more so than any reporter around the NFL, to the 49ers front office. He might have the best intel as it pertains to the 49ers. And Peter King's latest, and it's always a really good read, the Football Morning in America, he threw out some proposals. And these are Peter King's proposals. He's not saying that these are the conversations that are happening. In fact, there are no conversations happening, according to most reports, Schefter, Peter King, and everybody involved, that essentially the Houston Texans are just flat out not listening to offers for Deshaun Watson right now. We'll see if that changes. And if they want to get the most they can, that sort of a trade needs to happen probably within the next 4 weeks before free agency gets going, and definitely before the draft. He threw out this one, this three-way blockbuster. And it's funny because I threw out a three-way blockbuster involving Houston, San Francisco, and New England a few weeks ago. And some people were excited about it. Some people laughed at me about it, did not like the idea I had going. But I have a feeling 49ers fans are going to like this idea a lot less than that one. This three-way involves the 49ers, the Houston Texans, and the Minnesota Vikings. Peter King throws this out there. The 49ers send their first-round pick, number 12 overall this year, and Jimmy Garoppolo to the Houston Texans. The Minnesota Vikings send their first-rounder this year. They're picking 14th overall. Their first-round pick in 2023, a second-round pick next year, and a second-round pick in 2023, along with a couple players, running back Alexander Mattison and linebacker Anthony Barr. All of that goes to the Houston Texans, and then the Minnesota Vikings, in return, receive Deshaun Watson. You ask, what do the 49ers receive in this? Well, obviously, Kirk Cousins is the guy coming to San Francisco in this deal. What do you think? That ends up being the 49ers giving up their first-round pick this year at number 12 and Jimmy Garoppolo for Kirk Cousins. Now, I know Peter King has been pretty plugged into the 49ers in the past. Did John Lynch see Peter King throw the player that he was going to draft out there before the draft last year and say, you know what, I'm not going to talk as much to Peter King anymore? Is this Peter King more going on, you know, his knowledge from how much Kyle Shanahan liked Kirk Cousins and their plan from 2017 and sort of making the leap there that Kyle Shanahan maybe likes Kirk Cousins even more than a lot of people expect he does? But wow. That is one of the biggest no's I've seen from somebody with the clout that Peter King has, throwing out a fictitious offer. I mean, the 49ers have big problems if Kyle Shanahan would even consider sending a first-round pick and Jimmy Garoppolo for the mild upgrade to Kirk Cousins. And look, if I'm not going to fight you if you want to say Jimmy Garoppolo has more value than Kirk Cousins. I'm not going to fight you if you think that Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. Kirk Cousins has been more available over the last 3 years. That's not up for debate. I tend to think it would absolutely be a lateral move, maybe a slight upgrade to go from Jimmy Garoppolo to Kirk Cousins. But on top of, first of all, it's not a first round upgrade. Absolutely not. You have to pay more salary as well to Kirk Cousins in a deal like that. So not only is it just a first round pick that right now has no name or value attached to it other than it's a draft pick that hasn't been used yet, and Jimmy Garoppolo, if you start putting some names to it, and the most common players, so let's just throw one of the players that's most commonly mocked to the 49ers in the NFL draft at pick 12, and it's Alabama cornerback Patrick Surtain. I think that's the name I've seen the most, and that would make sense. The 49ers have a bunch of free agent corners coming up this offseason, and there's a good opportunity for them to re-sign someone like Trent Taylor, so probably corner over offensive line if you are projecting it, and things could obviously change with free agency. So you're trading Patrick Surtain, the pick that would get him. You're trading Jimmy Garoppolo, your current quarterback. And you are losing about $5.5 million or so, I think it would be, in salary cap for 2021 based on Kirk Cousins' cap number at $31 million and Jimmy Garoppolo's cap number at, I think, $25.5 million. And you'd take a little dead hit, just a very minor dead hit from Jimmy Garoppolo. So essentially, you're also losing a free agent that's worth $5 million, right? You're losing $5 million of cap space in this transition as well, going from Garoppolo to Kirk Cousins. And I've been on record, like, Kirk Cousins isn't enough of an upgrade. He's not someone that I would consider for the 49ers. I have a feeling Kyle Shanahan would at least consider Kirk Cousins, but not for this price. So you're trading the right to draft Patrick Surtain or insert your favorite player that you think will be there at pick 12 for the 49ers, along with Jimmy Garoppolo, and losing out on, say, Kyle Juszczyk, or maybe Kaywan Williams. You know, that $5 million will go a long way for the 49ers this offseason with their salary cap situation. So That's a huge no for me. And I can't imagine that John Lynch and Adam Peters, who we just talked about, and Kyle Shanahan, as much as he loves Kirk Cousins, and no doubt he does, would do something that dumb. I mean, that's just an awful, awful idea from Peter King. Peter King's a great writer. Love his coverage of the NFL. Definitely worth always reading his stuff at SI, but or NBC Sports. Where is he now? I can't remember where his latest articles are. Football Morning in America. So yeah, that's NBC Sports. Used to be at SI. Still a great read for Peter King, but a massive no on this proposal from Peter King with this three-way trade that is extremely unlikely to happen, so don't get worked up over it. But I wanted to relay it because Peter King's voice rings out around the NFL, and he is well-connected. So who knows? Maybe he's hearing something about some extreme Vikings interest in Deshaun Watson and some extreme Kyle Shanahan interest in Kirk Cousins. I don't know. We'll find out. But when we come back, let's check in on some of the latest mock drafts. Is it Patrick Surtain? Who is it that Daniel Jeremiah and the Draft Network have the 49ers selecting at pick 12 next? Surprisingly enough, after adding Carson Wentz and folks like Dan Orlovsky on ESPN, who said that maybe Carson Wentz is going to be the MVP of the league in 2021, the Colts' Super Bowl odds actually did not change at betonline.ag despite the addition of Carson Wentz. 2021 props for Carson Wentz, over under 4,000 passing yards, 23.5 touchdowns, 11.5 interceptions. The same for Jalen Hurts, 12.5 total starts for Hurts in 2021. I think I'm taking the over on a lot of those, actually. You can have fun with a number of NFL bets, even though the season is over. College football futures, NBA, NHL, get in on the action at betonline.ag. Sign up today and get a free 50% deposit bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Don't forget to check out the latest from the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On presents a special for Black History Month called More Than the Game. And Locked On Today, the newest podcast covering the entire sporting world every day, hosted by Peter Bukowski and featuring local experts. Yours truly included. I have been on Locked On Today a couple of times already. So check those out everywhere you find podcasts. And how about this little nugget before we get to the mock drafts? Josina Anderson recently spoke with 49ers defensive lineman Nick Bosa. This popped up just as I was recording here. They chatted on the phone about Nick Bosa's recovery from his ACL. He's working out in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Bosa says right now he still wants to lay low while he continues to rehab, but told her, quote, "You'll see my progress on the field next year. Tell them I'm gonna be better," end quote. That's a fantastic quote from Nick Bosa, and it sounds like something he would absolutely say, and it has to get 49ers fans excited to hear that. Everything we have heard, whether it's local or nationally, from some little leaks of information from different writers, is that Nick Bosa's rehab is going extremely well, and I have no doubt he's getting after it, just as he would be a quarterback on Sundays. And so it is exciting to see Nick Bosa back at the level he once was. And wow, if he's going to be even better than he was as a rookie in 2019, that would be fantastic, because there hasn't been many rookies that good ever as a pass rusher in the NFL on defense from day one. So yeah, hoping Nick Bosa is actually coming back strong and coming back better, and that rehab continues to go well as he gets ready for 2021. Daniel Jeremiah, who is one of my favorites covering the NFL draft, he's been doing it at such a high level for so long. I think there's a matter of time before he starts hearing his name attached to some general manager jobs around the league. We hear guys like Lewis Riddick that are involved that have been in front offices before. And, you know, I think Daniel Jeremiah was just a regular old scout in his days when he was in NFL front offices. But he's so smart, and I think he's someone that could absolutely take on that kind of a job if he wants to. I'm sure he's well paid doing what he's doing for the NFL, and he does some cover some games as well for the Chargers in the LA area. And when it comes to Daniel Jeremiah, his mock draft 2.0 was out, at the end of last week, and I wanted to cover it here on this Mock Draft Monday because I value his opinion, and his podcast is definitely worth a listen. He and Bucky Brooks go at it weekly, a couple times a week, on the Move the Sticks podcast. Definitely worth a listen. Pretty chalk mock draft when it comes to DJ's mock 2.0 here, but something that did catch my eye is, what do people think the 49ers do at 12 if none of the top four quarterbacks fall there and neither of the top two cornerbacks are on the board? And it's becoming more and more common that those six prospects, who I would put as the top six for the 49ers as we stand now here in February at pick 12, if none of them are there, what do the 49ers do? And that's exactly what happened here. All four quarterbacks were gone by eight. And as has been the case in almost every mock draft I read now, pick 9 and 10 with the Broncos and Cowboys have Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech or Patrick Surtain from Alabama going in at one spot or the other, back-to-back at 9 and 10. But it's interesting because they're no corners ever go before 9, but they're both gone by 10, almost every single mock draft I see now. So for the 49ers, what do you do here? And Daniel Jeremiah has them going with Rashawn Slater. And this is a little bit of a cop-out because you see this a lot, and we don't know what's going to happen in free agency yet because Trent Williams hasn't resigned. As soon as Trent Williams resigns, nobody's going to have an offensive lineman go into the 49ers at pick 12, and everybody will have, you know, whatever, a corner or whatever go into the 49ers there, and probably still would, but those guys went. And I agree, you go best player available if there's a clear drop-off, and I would take Rashawn Slater over J.C. Horn, who's probably the next cornerback on the list at pick 12. And even if you do resign Trent Williams, I think it'd still take Rashawn Slater over J.C. Horn. Rashawn Slater is an offensive tackle from Northwestern. He played left tackle at Northwestern, but really could play anywhere along the line. So you could plug him in, and I think he'd be an all-pro interior guy too at first. You could play him at right tackle if you wanted to move on from Mike McGlinchey eventually. You could play him at center if you want. He literally could be a really good starting player at any of the five offensive line spots. So I think I can see the 49ers really liking Rashawn Slater. Will he be there at 12? Would the 49ers take him at 12, even if they did re-sign Trent Williams? I don't know. But if Trent Williams doesn't re-sign, all of a sudden, offensive line shoots way up to the top of the list for 49ers draft needs. So that's who Daniel Jeremiah has going to the 49ers at pick 12. And I am seeing that commonly in some mocks that you guys are sending to me. And keep them coming. I do want to highlight one listener mock every week on Mondays as well. So hit me up either email or via Twitter with those. Paul kind of had an either or with a couple of different scenarios here, and I assume one is signing a bunch of corners and letting Trent Williams walk, and he sort of takes the baton from Daniel Jeremiah in one of these with Rashawn Slater, the offensive lineman from Northwestern at pick 12. In round two for 49ers, he has him selecting Trayvon Morig, a safety from TCU, who is probably the top safety prospect in this class. Coming back late third round with Kelvin Joseph, a corner from Kentucky, who I think would be a fantastic fit for the 49ers if he's still on the board. I've heard some juice with his name recently, even talking about him at the end of round one. Trayvon Morig, same thing at safety, potentially late round one guy. So I think value-wise, you're doing really well here, Paul, with this mock draft if it falls this way. And then Georgia quarterback Jamie Newman, who I've seen a lot of fans like, a developmental sort of a quarterback to be a backup and hope you get more out of him out of the University of Georgia for the 49ers in round four. So that's the first four picks he has in the Rashawn Slater scenario. And it's not a terrible scenario. I don't get super excited about that scenario, though, because I don't know if you're getting better on the offensive line and you're still sort of old and broken at cornerback. I don't know if safety is that big of a need for the 49ers. You don't really add a second pass rusher in the first four rounds. And you get a rookie backup quarterback. I mean, I don't see a lot of upside to that scenario, even though I like the value of most of the picks. His other scenario has the 49ers drafting quarterback Trey Lance in round one at pick 12 out of North Dakota State. So first of all, he has to slide to the Niners at 12 and get there. And the mock I'm working on, it's not looking likely the 49ers are going to have a really good shot at one of those quarterbacks at 12. Although there was a report today from Mike Tannenbaum that the floor for Mac Jones, who's widely considered the fifth quarterback in this class, the floor for him is the eighth pick overall to the Carolina Panthers. So I mean, that would only help the 49ers if someone like Mac Jones, who I don't want any part of at pick 12, goes ahead of them, just pushes another player back to the Niners, maybe another quarterback, than someone like Trey Lance, who I'd be a lot more excited about seeing him develop and work with Kyle Shanahan than Mac Jones, who I think is more of a day two quarterback, in my opinion. Then he goes interior offensive line in round two with Landon Dickerson out of Alabama at pick 44. Again, Kelvin Joseph at corner in round three, and Ardarius Washington, the safety from TCU, in the fourth round. I mean, look, Trey Lance falling to 12 for the 49ers. I just got to pick that scenario, and you hope you're going to be good at corner. I like Kelvin Joseph. I like Emmanuel Mosley, and that if that means you're bringing back Jason Verrett, I just like that scenario a lot more, and it gives you a lot more upside at quarterback, which means you're going to be a better team in the future if you do hit and develop that quarterback. But I do understand the Rashawn Slater offensive line scenarios, either with or without Trent Williams re-signing with the 49ers. Be good up front, but man, they just need to spend some resources elsewhere, and I think to stay dominant on defense, or just at least not even be dominant, just stay really good on defense, you got to cover people and you got to get after the quarterback. So those two things are really, really important for the 49ers. And I'll let Kyle Shanahan figure out the offensive side of the ball aside from quarterback. Get the quarterback right, Shanahan can scheme up the rest, then spend resources on defense to make sure you keep giving the ball back to Kyle Shanahan's offense. And Paul, I got to say, I like the first four rounds of both of your mocks maybe more than the Draft Network 7-round mock draft for the 49ers. I'll go over who the Draft Network has the 49ers selecting in all 7 rounds, all 10 picks the 49ers are going into the 2021 draft with next, and your questions. I am extremely excited to tell everybody about the newest flavors of Built Bars, and they're fantastic. If you listen to this podcast, you know I love talking about the peanut butter flavor of Built Bar, but they've taken it to the next level with a peanut butter crispy flavor. 160 calories of goodness for the entire bar with 19 grams of protein and only 7 grams of sugar. Built Bars are protein bars that feel like you're eating a candy bar. And coconut puff bar, luscious chocolate, soft marshmallow, premium collagen protein blend, 16 grams of protein in the coconut puff bar, only 130 calories and only 6 grams of sugar. Gluten-free, preservative-free. Go to builtbar.com for 20% off your next order with promo code LOCKEDON. Again, promo code LOCKEDON at builtbar.com for 20% off your next box of Built Bars. This is a YouTube video, actually, where you can find this 7-round mock draft from the Draft Network. It doesn't say which analyst went through and made these selections for the 49ers, but there's a lot of great folks doing work over there at the Draft Network year-round covering the draft, which I love. They've got tons of information in the summer about the upcoming class before a lot of us really get deep into it here in the wintertime. Trey Lance going in round one, pick 12 for the 49ers, so that's a good start. I obviously like that, but I think I like I like round 2 and 3, I think, better from Paul's mock draft than I like from this Draft Network mock. Eric Stokes, cornerback from Georgia, 6'1", 185. So, you know, long, lean, I think fits what the 49ers are looking for as an outside cornerback. So not terrible, but I don't know if that's extreme value for me at pick 44 with Eric Stokes, the corner from Georgia. Like him, don't love him. Similar, Ben Cleveland, the guard from Georgia, sticking with Georgia here in round 3. He's big, nasty, finisher, but he doesn't fit the 49ers, I don't think. I've seen him in a lot of mocks because he's sort of the best guard available when people are mock drafting in the third round range. But he's 330, I've heard maybe even 350 pounds. He's just not a fit as a guard for the 49ers wide zone scheme and getting out on the move and hitting people on the second level. He's more, you know, that gap scheme power, sort of an interior offensive lineman. So I just don't think Ben Cleveland's a great fit for the 49ers. I actually like this pick here in round 4. For the Niners, going back to the offensive line, a tackle this time from Stanford, Walker Little, who's been a little bit forgotten about because he hasn't played in so long. Listed at 6'7", 309 pounds, built similarly to Mike McGlinchey. So he's got length, he's got athleticism, he's a pretty good pass protector, should move well enough, fine for the wide zone run scheme that Shanahan runs. So he meets a lot of what I think the 49ers will be looking for in a developmental backup, sort of an offensive tackle. In round 4, for a guy who you know, showed up at Stanford, a big time recruit. I mean, he's an offensive tackle at Stanford. They recruit really good offensive linemen there. But here's why he's still available in the fourth round. It's because he's not really a people mover and in the run game, which is fine. I think just, you know, as long as you're a positional blocker and can get around and move in the running game, I think is important for the 49ers, as long as you're still a good pass protector, which Walker Little was the last time he played. That's the problem, though. He hasn't played since September of 2019 due to a knee injury, and that was early in the season in 2019, then opted out of all of 2020. So he hasn't played in almost two full seasons. So that's going to be tough, because it'll be the first time in two full calendar years that he's played once he steps on the field in September of 2021 for whatever team drafts him. So might not be quite ready to play right away. And then you got to find out what's going on with that knee as well, because he still hasn't played on it since 2019. But an interesting selection there that I kind of like in Walker Little, offensive tackle from Stanford. Going back to Georgia in the fifth round at pick 158, Richard LeCount III. Undersized safety that can cover a little bit in the slot, so versatile type of a player, which I like. 5'11", 190 pounds, a little bit of a Jimmy Ward vibe to him at that size with some athleticism, can play some special teams, which is important if you're drafting a defensive back on day three. You know, not a thumper, undersized, but can cover a little bit, so not a bad pick there. Wyatt Hubert, edge rusher from Kansas State. I just don't like that waited this long for the edge. I think I would replace that third round pick of Ben Cleveland with an edge rusher there if there was anybody available to draft as someone who could give you a little juice, a little pressure off the edge is where I would go. Wyatt Hubert doesn't really do much for me here. 6'3", 270, sort of a try-hard situational reserve. He goes back to the well at edge with Chauncey Golston in round six, 6'4", 268 pounds, but sort of undersized for a player who's not a really good pass rusher off the edge. More of an edge setter than a pass rusher at 268 pounds. Not super interesting to me there in the sixth round for Chauncey Golston. I am sort of interested in his third, fifth round pick, though, who I skipped over here. Josh Imatorbebe from Illinois. He started out at USC. Supreme athlete, but maybe a little too tightly wound, and maybe better athlete than football player. 6'2", 220 pounds, just flat out ripped. There's rumors that he's got a 47-inch vertical jump or something ridiculous and astronomical, would probably fly in he would be a combine superstar. Unfortunately, there's no combine this year, but he could still show out at Illinois Pro Day. But yeah, USC transfer, never put up any stats at USC, didn't really do a lot, although it was better at Illinois and averaged 19.5 yards per carry in 2019 there. So sort of a downfield linear player with size and speed, which is interesting as a developmental fifth round pick. So yeah, you know, give me someone who's super athletic that's built like he is in the fifth round. And, you know, hopefully you see if it's something, it gives you something. But, you know, he seems like really not a Kyle Shanahan type of wide receiver. He's more of a Brian Peacock type wide receiver, I'd say. Then Trey Norwood, a corner from Oklahoma, who's a slim, wiry corner, could play inside or outside, which I like in the sixth round. And then Cornell Powell, who didn't do a lot at Clemson because there's five-star recruits everywhere at wide receiver, but he showed out here as a seventh-round pick. I mean, he was catching passes at Trevor Lawrence's pro day last week. Maybe that's why half the league showed up to watch Trevor Lawrence's pro day, even though only one team's going to have a chance to draft Trevor Lawrence. But buried behind five-star recruits at Clemson, had a chance to be a number one at another school, but didn't, and stayed and ended up producing finally in his senior year, had 53 catches for 882 yards and seven touchdowns when Lawrence was actually out and hurt this year at Clemson when DJ Uiagalelei, I believe, Uiagalelei is how you pronounce his name. I always get that one wrong. Started in place of Trevor Lawrence there. And so yeah, that was 120 receiving yards per game when DJU was the starting quarterback there in the final six games of the season. So I like that. I love that selection actually in round seven of Cornell Powell. So some I like, some I don't love there from the Draft Network seven round mock. But yeah, let's see some of your seven round mocks, your one round mocks, your four round mocks, whatever you got. I love seeing them on Twitter at BD Peacock, and I'll highlight some interesting ones again next week. But I got a couple of minutes left here, and I want to tackle some of your 49ers related questions and keep them coming. Going to hit some more with Nick Winkler later on in the week and have some more guests. Going to continue talk about the NFL draft and tease my one round mock draft that you're going to have to tune into the Peacock and Williamson show Wednesday to hear the whole thing. I will tease this for the 49ers pick. They are on the move. They are not going to be picking at 12 in that mock draft. But you have to tune in to Peacock and Williamson Wednesday to find out what all the selections are from pick 1 to 32. Got to check in on some emails. James says, with all this talk about trading for Deshaun, could we see the Niners trading for Sam Darnold using Jimmy Ward and Jimmy G? We have to figure something out for Tarvarius Moore. I think this is a contract year for him coming up. Yeah, geez, is Tarvarius Moore already going to be a free agent? He is, huh? Yeah, it's going to be his fourth season as a third round draft pick. He'll be going to unrestricted free agency after 2021. It's hard to believe because he didn't really see the field all that much in his first two seasons. I still have some hopes of Tarvarius Moore, and I think the 49ers are going to try to use him as a starter. It's just, you know, don't create a need that you don't have. And they have two players they're comfortable with throwing out there as starters. You can add some depth. You can draft some potential replacements in the future, some players to develop and some players to push Tarvarius Moore. But I just don't see the 49ers trying to add another hole by trading someone like Jimmy Ward. And they just signed him last year, so they're going to take a cap hit if they did that. You would have to get a lot back from a team like the Jets, even though I think Robert Saleh, you know, he's gushed about Jimmy Ward in the past. Maybe he would love him and want to add him to their situation if they're not able to re-sign Marcus May, but they just drafted a guy last year who has a lot of range and can play center field for them in Ashton Davis out of Cal. So I just don't think the Jets and the Niners line up there, and I don't think they line up for Jimmy G either. I think the Jets are sitting at pick 2, and if they're moving on from Sam Darnold, they're probably going to draft a guy at 2 to be their quarterback of the future. So why would they give up resources to pay for Jimmy Garoppolo's salary when they could just flip Sam Darnold to a different team and get a draft pick instead? So I just don't see any of that adding up for the 49ers and the Jets. There could potentially be some movement there with players maybe going back and forth depending on what Robert Saleh really needs, but the 49ers depth-wise aren't in a place to really be giving up a ton of talent with how many free agents they have coming up this year. Ooh, here's one from JL. An email, almost looking impossible to get one of the top four quarterbacks to fall to us at 12. I don't know. Looking at all these mocks, we've seen one of them get there multiple times, which is always, pretty much always, Trey Lance. But man, Trey Lance might not be ready to play week one. So he's someone who's probably not going to see the field a lot this year. So Trey Lance still is probably going to be a player who's combined with Jimmy Garoppolo if he's the pick there. But anyway, should we look at Cam Newton? He made $7 million last year. I'd take Cam and Trent Williams over Jimmy and no Trent any day of the week. So JL is looking at this as like, look, if there's not enough money to sign Trent Williams, you got to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo to do so. Then, okay, maybe that's a conversation. But I think in that point, you'd probably go to Sam Darnold or somebody like that who's making less money instead of going to Cam Newton. Cam Newton's just such a short-term stopgap player. Didn't look like the old Cam last year in New England. I just don't think it's a good fit for the 49ers, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense. And I think the 49ers might have more cap space than you're letting on here, JL. I think they're going to have more space to be able to keep Jimmy and keep Trent Williams and do a couple of things, and there's other ways they can maneuver around the cap. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is just his own conversation, and if they go away from Jimmy, it's because they think they're getting someone who is either currently better or could become better. So we're talking about a draft pick, Sam Darnold, Deshaun Watson. You know, the list is pretty short, I think, for available quarterbacks that I think the 49ers would consider moving on from Jimmy G for. And maybe Kirk Cousins is one of those guys. They're just not giving up a first rounder along with Jimmy G to get Kirk Cousins, in my opinion. And let's finish it up with an email from James. It's more of a comment than a question. He says, thanks for the insightful Niners news. You're welcome, James. Appreciate you listening. With so many free agents this year, we must be due a significant number of comp picks in 2022, along with the additional third for Saleh. Let's hope the free agents sign big contracts to increase the comp value. We might see Lynch deal a few future picks as a result. That's James from London. So shout out to all my listeners over there across the pond. Appreciate you, James. And yeah, that's a good point. The 49ers can probably look ahead and project that they're going to get a couple of extra draft picks, might allow them to do some things and send some future picks knowing that they're going to have some extras. But, you know, you're going to need the extras too. So having more picks is a good thing. You don't want to just throw them away for nothing. So it has to be for the right deals if you are going to give up some future picks. And yeah, it depends on what those free agent deals look like. Richard Sherman and Trent Williams are 10-year veterans, I think it's the 10-year cutoff. I can't remember what the year is. The contract stuff is so convoluted, and I always forget what the finer details are. But once you've been in the league a certain amount of time, you're not going to get the full value. So let's say they let Trent Williams walk. Normally, a guy who gets $20 million a year on the free agent market, his team's going to get a third-round comp pick back. But when you've been around as long as Trent Williams has or Richard Sherman has, then the max you can get is a fifth-round comp pick back. So they might not get as much because I don't know how many other big-money guys there are that are going to be leaving. They could get some comp picks, but probably not any big, shiny third-round picks, except for the one for Robert Saleh next year. But they will have some picks, and that will help them out in the 2022 draft. That's going to do it for today. Keep those questions coming on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can also email the show if you want to get them on the show, though. Remember, keep those emails short, or you can just say hi. Locked On 49ers at Gmail. Be back tomorrow right here. Locked On 49ers.